Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 company update call for FY 2022-23 of Star Housing Finance Limited. Today on the call we have Mr. Anup Saxena, who heads the credit and operations functions, and Mr. Nitesh Narayanan, CFO of Star HFL, Mr. Kalpesh Dave, who heads the corporate planning and strategy at the company, and Mr. Ashish Jain, Managing Director of Star HFL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kalpesh Dave. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, operator. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everybody. A warm welcome to the Star HFL company update call that we have organized post-announcement of financial results for 9 months ending December 31st, 2022. My name is Kalpesh Dave, and I head strategy at Star HFL. On this call, we have CFO, Mr. Nitesh Narayanan, Mr. Anup Saxena, who heads credit and operations, Mr. Shreyas Mehta, who is the company secretary at Star HFL, and Mr. Ashish Jain, the MD of the company, to present the update and interact with the participants if they may have any query. You may ask your questions if you may have on this call, or you may email your questions to us, or you can connect with the investor desk at Star HFL, wherein Mr. Shreyas Mehta can interact with you and provide you any update or any clarification on the numbers that we are going to discuss. This is a very quick call in which I will be covering key operational and financial highlights of our company, followed by Nitesh, who will run you through the overall financial numbers and the liability scale-up that has happened during the period. Ashish Jain will conclude this call with his remarks. Here are the operational and financial highlights of our company. Star HFL has continued its growth momentum in the third quarter and has cumulatively registered record numbers for the period 9 months ending December 31st, 2022. The company, for the first time in its operational history, has disbursed more than 100 crores during this period, and more than 98% of these are retail home loans, where the credit has been provided to economically weaker section, low-income group families who wish to purchase or construct their own homes, thereby enabling home ownership in their residing semi-urban and rural geographies where Star HFL operates. Resultantly, our AUM, which is assets under management, currently stands at rupees 187.57 crores, and this number as of 31st of March 2022 was 104.94 crores. We have registered an annualized growth rate of 107%, and we expect similar or a greater momentum to happen in the Q4 of the current financial year, where the entire business gets culminated and the disbursements naturally are at a record high for the, you know, HFCs as well as for the NBFCs. We have registered this record disbursement and AUM number through our 10 operational physical branches with a staff of 135 employees and head office/registered office in Mumbai from where we operate. Now, including digital offices, we are now present at 20 locations covering 40 major districts in our operational geographies of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, and Tamil Nadu, in addition to Rajasthan. These physical offices are slated to increase in line with our capacity build-up plan over the next operational quarters. We look forward to build up further momentum in the last operational quarter, which I just said, which is Q4, and close the financial year with an AUM in the range of around 225 crores-250 crores. We have streamlined our overall growth through four different business verticals, which include regular housing loan vertical, co-lending vertical, as rural housing loan vertical. And the fourth one, which is a digital home loan vertical, this we plan to introduce post-deployment of our new lending suite, and transition of this and the deployment of the new lending suite is in process. We have successfully created a robust collection infrastructure in place, complementing the asset growth, which has resulted in PAR, which is portfolio at risk, now coming down to sub-5% excluding the GNPA. Gross NPA levels as of 31st of December 2022 stands at 2.15% and the net NPA stands at 1.65%. What is to be noted is that the retail book which we have generated since October 2019 has portfolio at risk or PAR at less than 1%. We look forward to further improve our asset quality on a static pool basis with focused collection efforts, man-to-man marking of cases, and leveraging technology / business intelligence to monitor the health of the portfolio. We are extremely happy to share that our net worth has crossed 100 crores courtesy three successful rounds of capital raise that have been effected over the last 12 business months. I am talking about November 2021 to November 2022, which has resulted in the participation of professional investors from BFSI space, capital market space, HNIs and family offices. Happy to share that we now have 7,000 plus shareholders who have reposed trust in the company. Star SFL has now qualified the quantum criteria and now awaits to qualify the tenor criteria, post which it shall become eligible to list and trade on the National Stock Exchange, which is NSE, post getting regulatory and necessary approvals. We have effected bonus and split of company shares, resulting in increase in number of shares outstanding and more shares in the hands of our shareholders. This corporate action, which has been approved by the board and the shareholders, is in line with our philosophy to reward our shareholders who have reposed trust in the company. ESOP 1 scheme for eligible employees is now getting exercised, and this move is expected to bring in accountability, ownership and an opportunity for value creation for our employees. Star SFL has a strong liability franchise with relationship with public sector banks, FIs and the National Housing Bank. And also happy to share that recently we have started our relationship with private sector bank space as well, with getting a rupees 10 crore facility with ICICI Bank. So these are the operational updates that I wanted to give to you, and I now hand over the call to Natesh, who will speak about the financial numbers. Thank you, and over to you, Natesh.
Thank you, Kalpesh. Good evening, everybody. I'm sharing the financial performance for the 9-month period ended 31st of March 2022. For the AUM of STAR stands at 187.57 crores as of December 2022, vis-a-vis 101.59 crores in December 2021. Thus registering a growth of 85%. The disbursement for the 9-month period stood at 113 crores to be more precise, as against 36.58 crores for the entire of FY22, thus registering a 210% growth. The total revenue for the 9-month period is at 24.75 crores last year, FY22 was 19.37 crores, thus with a growth of 28%. The interest income and the net interest income for the nine-month period FY23 for the company was 21.3 crores and 14.4 crores respectively, as against last year of 17.97 crores and 11.89 crores. Annualized yield on the portfolio has increased to 18.5%, while the finance cost of the finance cost has reduced to 9.04% to 9.04% for the nine-month period ending December 2022, as against 16.47% and 8.51% respectively in last year FY 2022. The nine-month GNPA stands at 2.15% as against 3.05% in FY 2022. The NNPA, the nine-month NNPA stands at 1.65% as against 2.86% last year, same period, thus registering a significant fall in the GNPA and NNPA. The profit before tax for this nine-month has been at 7.63 crores, thus exceeding the last 12-month PBT of 3.08 crores. The PAT stands for this year at 5.83 vis-à-vis 2.38 for the entire 12-month period. Thus, our nine-month period profit after tax has near about doubled that of the PAT for the entire year of last financial year. In this nine-month period, we have onboarded new lenders like LIC Housing Finance, Sundaram Housing Finance, Cholamandalam, Manvia Development Corporation, ICICI Bank, and our existing lenders like NHB, SBI, and MAS have extended fresh lines of credit. Sorry. The company has done a preferential allotment of 16 lakh equity shares of 10 rupees each at a price of 135 per share, and a second allotment of 730,500 equity shares of 10 rupees each at 153 per share on a private placement basis, post the board approval meeting dated 29th of July and 12th of November respectively. This resulted in our net worth crossing 100 crores as on 31st December 2022. The board of directors also have approved a subdivision of equity shares of one equity share of face value of 10 each into two equity shares of face value of 5 rupees each. The board of directors of the company allotted 3,478,25,458 fully paid up equity shares of face value 5 rupees each as bonus shares in the proportion of one bonus equity share of face value of 5 for every one equity share of face value of 5 held in the rate of 1:1 as on the record date, by capitalizing an amount of 18.91 crores from the security premium account of the company. Sorry, we intend to have a diversified borrowing profile by adding new lenders from the PSU and private sector space, and also look at the social impact funds. To conclude, I conclude with the following points. The net worth of the company stands at 102.57 crores and a debt equity of 1.2 times. The company is well capitalized for embarking on a journey to reach 500 crores. AUM towards the next 3-4 quarters and becoming a systemically important HFC. The investment in infrastructure, manpower, and technology has created a capacity for a monthly disbursement of 30 crores, and this shall be utilized over the subsequent quarters for scale up. With this, I hand out the presentation to Mr. Ashish Jain. Thank you.
Thank you, Ratesh. Thank you, Kalpesh. Star HFL is now firmly on growth path, which is evident from disbursement numbers as told by Ratesh, what we are posting in each of the quarters in the current financial year. We look forward to culminate this financial year with another strong quarter and meet the business targets that we had set in the beginning of the year. We are happy to have achieved milestone set in equity and in debt for the current financial year. Your company, Star HFL, with its strong capitalization level and moderate leverage level, is now ready to build operating metrics and the return ratios in subsequent of 4-6 quarters. Post that, we should be ready with sustainable numbers on these parameters. Yes, of course. We look forward to continue to capitalize the company adequately with an objective to build AUM through firing our liability machinery. However, quality is and will always be taking precedence over growth in the scale-up of the journey. We are guided by strong board consisting of independent directors of high pedigree that includes Mr. AP Saxena, ex-GM of the NHB, Mr. Ajit Lakshmanan, ex-ED LIC of India, and Mr. Pradeep Kumar Das, ex-ED of IDBI Bank. We have also inducted Ms. Neelam Tate, who is a highly professional chartered accountant and company secretary in our board. We look forward to have reputed professionals from BFSI and allied space to further strengthen the overall corporate governance framework. Through this journey, we have expanded our shareholder base and have got reputed names from BFSI, capital market, and H&A space for the shareholders of the company. We are confident of creating value for our stakeholders as the enablers like listing on the NSE platform, subject to all approvals, becoming a systematically important HFC over the next 4 to 5 quarters, which is rupees 500 crore AUM. And of course, rating upgrade based on the merits of business and operational performance that shall come to us over the next few quarters. I'm extremely proud of 135 plus members in our company, the team that operating across the geographies who have string domain to enabling us to scale up backed by quality. I thank all our stakeholders, including bankers, rating partners, shareholders, prospective investors, business associates, employees, our customers, and our regulator, the RBI, as well as refinance partner, the NHB, who have supported us in this phase of our growth. Thank you so much. Thank you, operator. Over to you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may enter star and then one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset while asking a question. This is required to ensure optimum audio quality on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Pradeep Kabra from JLN US and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Just want to know about the rating of the company, the credit rating, I mean, and what is the, you know, you want to leverage, means how much you are expecting that you are going to take fresh sanctions from outside lenders. What is your future plan?
Sure. I will take that up, Natesh, if it's okay with you, and I'll hand it over to you. So, sir, our current rating is at BBB- stable as we speak today. We are already, engaging with our rating partners. We are having our rating review of our existing credit facility, and we are engaging with them in our annual rating exercise. How do we stand in terms of our rating forecast? I would want to tell you that as the asset base, which is the AUM, gets builded up over the period of next couple of operational quarters, us crossing around 300-350 crores of AUM mark at that point of time, I think we should be eligible based on the business and operational metrics that we'll be putting forward for the rating agencies to review us. And just to let you know that, we have already, have got that kind of comfort from the rating agencies that we have ticked box, we've ticked all the boxes vis-a-vis with respect to our capitalization levels, our, PAR levels, and also our, overall growth levels that we have registered. So now it's a matter of building our AUM, which, as I said, happens over the period of next couple of operational quarters. With Q4 being the final operational quarter for this financial year, where we'll be crossing 225-250 odd crores. And from there on, I think we should be up for a, serious look at our overall parameters for a rating upgrade. So that's on the, first part of it. On the liability side, wanted to tell you that, Natesh has created a really strong pipeline in the overall funding space. Previously, it was predominantly FIs from which our company used to borrow. It has now diversified to public sector banks. And as we speak today, State Bank of India, Bank of Baroda, Indian Overseas Bank, Union Bank of India have provided credit facilities to us, and they have continued to recurrently provide us credit facilities. Not to mention the other banking partners also who have given us the credit facilities, and more importantly, the National Housing Bank have engaged with us periodically, post-auditing us, post-looking at us, and have offered refinance facilities over the last couple of quarters. And we look forward to maintaining same kind of relationship based on the results that we put, based on the growth that we put. On the private sector side, obviously, ICICI Bank, as I said, is the first private sector bank with whom we have initiated our relationship. And as we move ahead, more private sector banks continue to get engaged with us. Just to give you a perspective, more than 100 crores of our term loan proposals right now are in pipeline with various private sector banks and public sector banks from here on. And the strategy is very clear that we maintain a healthy funding pipeline to fund for at least one quarter of our disbursement. So it's always that when I'm ending 31st of December, I should be good enough to fuel for the growth for the Q4. And the same will hold true when the 31st March will come. So that's the update on the liability side, unless Ritesh wants to add anything more than that. Ritesh, I know you are not keeping well, hence I just took up this question. If that answers your question well, sir.
Yes, rightly you have addressed and answered, sir. So you during your answering, you informed that initially you have relationship with the private bankers, right, sir? Or NBFCs?
It was with FIs, it was with NBFCs. And post-October 2019, we started engaging with public sector banks. Since we rationalized our overall interest rate offering to our end customers from erstwhile 22-24% to now 14-15%, we basically changed our liability strategy from FIs to public sector banks and the NHB, and resultantly, this strong pipeline that we have created and the strong traction that we have created.
Cost of borrowing previously was maybe around, and now maybe can you light on that also?
Yeah. So the cost of borrowing previously for my company was at around 13-odd%, 13-14-odd%, which has now fallen down at 10.31% as of 31st of December 2022, based on whatever outstanding limit that I have from 15-odd lenders, including the National Housing Bank. And as I get an upgrade, this is expected to come down over a period of time, and we expect to maintain a spread of around 450 to 500 basis points, on our balance sheet as we disperse the retail loans.
Great, sir. Great. And all the best for the coming future.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants you may enter star one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Corporate Research. Please go ahead.
I want to ask you, what are the different products offered to the customers?
So we do offer, retail home loans to our customers. So it is a typical, loan for, constructing a house on an existing piece of land, for towards a new purchase. A new purchase could be the units, in a G+2 kind of a construction. When I'm talking about the semi-urban rural geography, it is typically a G+2 construction. So either for a purchase of a flat or for a purchase of a new unit, which would be a row house in a typical semi-urban or a rural geography. Also want to mention is that, we have done reasonably well in case of reverse migrated population in our existing geographies. The families who have reverse migrated back to their natives and they wish to, reconstruct their existing dwelling. So their house may get dilapidated. So, if they want to reconstruct it, we provide housing finance on that. Some of the self-employed, customers who wish to have house come workshop being done in their existing premises, which is a productive housing. The name stands as productive housing. We provide loan for that. For the existing structure, if they wish to construct one more room, then home extension loan is something which we provide. And, you know, if they wish to improve upon their existing dwelling and they want to, you know, do some modifications to existing dwelling, the home improvement loans also we do provide. So just to tell you, we are, you know, purely retail-focused home loan providers. We are credit enablers to economically weaker section low-income group, and that's what we do. And these are our, you know, typical products that we provide. However, what we have done in order to diversify is that, you know, apart from the regular housing loan vertical, we are also have partnered up with, you know, our one of the NBFC, one of the FI partners by name Singularity Credit, through whom we are doing co-lending. So that co-lending is being done a bit on the outskirts of the, you know, urban centers that we are operating. So that also we do. There our customer segment kind of gets diversified. We also, you know, have pure play rural housing loans as well under Star Grameen Griha Loan, where we provide small ticket loans of, you know, 6 to 8 lakhs to the customers. So that's another business vertical. And as I said, as we you know, deploy our lending suite from here on, you know, we may choose to launch digital lending vertical wherein our existing customers with a very, very good repayment track record and who wish to be retained with us and want and are looking forward to switch over for excess of funds, you know, the balance, the top-up loans through digital, you know, app is something which we are looking forward to provide. So these are the four verticals through which we are operating and focus is purely retail in our operational geographies.
Mr. Kumar, do you have any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Jatin Dhinora, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Kakshya Che, Kripa Kari, live.
I'm sorry, the participant is on hold. Ladies and gentlemen, participants who have a question may enter star 1 at this time. We have a question from Rakesh Kumar again. Please go ahead.
I have a question. What are the different products you are having for the fundraising in the next financial year?
So you're talking about the liability profile. I already mentioned on the asset side of the profile which was there. On the liability side of it, currently right now we are taking term loans from our bankers. And our bankers include public sector, private sector banks as well as FIs, including the National Housing Bank. It's a predominant, you know, term loan facility that we take from them. Diversification on the liability side is also there in our mind and we are cognizant of that. And for that, we are engaging with, you know, some of our finance partners for a non-convertible debenture facility from select HNI investors. So that is something which is there in work. Once it gets finalized and approved by, you know, relevant authorities within the company and outside the, you know, purview of the company, that also should be launched. And post that, our overall liability profile on a steady state basis should have around 10% of non-convertible debentures. Obviously, the rating, once, you know, it gets enhanced, you know, will make us more amenable towards getting, you know, NCDs. So NCD is something which we are looking forward to have as we move from here on, apart from the, you know, normal term loan. And as I said that, you know, the asset builds up and the liability scale builds up, you know, those short-term bridge loans which are required for the overall day-to-day working operation, that probably would, you know, comprise of around 2 to 3% of the overall liability profile. So this will be my estimated liability profile and that is getting complemented and supported by the equity raise that we as a company are doing. We are cognizant of the fact that, you know, despite our strong capitalization levels, given the growth that we are envisaging, there is a need for raising capital, which we are doing, you know, over the last 12 months. There has been 3 rounds. And going ahead also, if there is an interest expense by select group of existing or potential investors, subject to all approvals in place, we may look forward to raise capital as well. So this is the overall purview on the liability that I wanted to give to you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Neha Sharma from Equity 99. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just have a very basic question. You know, you operate in the rural segment and, you know, most of these people have most of your customers would not have access to credit. So how do you assess their credit worthiness or credit history, because this will be a limited data?
Sure, sure. I would want, if Anoop is present, Anoop, you can answer this question, given you are handling the overall trade operations and even scanning the sourcing that gets generated from the region.
Yeah, sure, Kalpesh. I would like to answer that. So, Neha, our approximately 80% customer belongs to the population which is called as informal income, informal economy customer segment, wherein typical conventional income documents such as GST return, bank statements rather reflecting turnover or income tax returns are not available for the purpose of assessing cash flows of the customer. So typically for assessing cash flows or EMI affordability of these customers, we have developed in-house cash flow assessment scorecard based template, on the basis of which we are going at the doorstep of the customer, wherein we are assessing customers, rather we are populating customers' profit and loss statement, balance sheet and cash flow statement on the basis of interview with the customer, wherein we are taking care about products, daily sales, daily purchase, monthly sale, monthly purchase, weekly sales, weekly purchase, taking into account seasonality of the business, again, reassessing it by netting off business expenditures, household expenditures, and then again reassessing on the vertical of asset created by the customer during the period of time from which he is operating into business. So though it is interview-based assessment methodology, but it is scientific in terms of saving habits of the customer. So cash flow assessment is scientific cash flow assessment. As far as banking habit is concerned, we are educating customer through our weekend customer education program, wherein customer is getting educated that what are all the benefits he can have if he clear EMI through banking channel, that is through NACH, electronic clearance system. So that is how we are assessing cash flows of the customer.
Okay, so got it. So basically, you go by your own proprietary. Is your financial model or assessment pattern?
Ms. Sharma, I'm sorry, we cannot hear you very clearly.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I'm saying that is this financial model developed in-house and is it proprietary?
It is proprietary, in-house developed. So the soul of this model is from template derived by World Women Bank, but yes, it is proprietary model exclusively being used by Star Housing Finance.
Okay, and so one last question from my side, which is sort of a housekeeping question. I may have missed it also because I joined a little late. Which geographies do you, have you expanded your markets between your H1 and Q3 now, or are they the same, or are you planning to go into a newer territory in the next couple of months?
I'll tell you on that part of it. See, we were previously based in a single city, which is Udaipur. We came out of it. We are now present across states of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, and Tamil Nadu, in addition to Rajasthan. And we have now 10 operational physical branches, and our total presence is across 20 odd locations, which is physical plus digital in nature. So these are our operational geography. We have expanded, obviously, previously we started with around 7 odd locations. Today we have around 10 locations and 11th location we just opened. So we are now 11 odd locations. All these locations, physical premises, physical branches are in our these geographies itself. The initial mandate basically when we started was to expand, so we expanded, and further also we'll be building up the capacity which will be in these existing geographies. So those centers, those digital centers which are now kicking in, making a good portfolio and have good prospects, these will be converted into physical branches. So at the end of the 31st March 2023, maybe I may have around 14 to 15 odd physical branches. It will be in these geographies itself. So the current run rate of my overall infrastructure is around 15 to 20 crores on a monthly level, which I intend to maintain it. And once it gets maintained, which is now getting maintained over the period of the last 3 to 4 months, and will be increasing in this Q4, After that, I will be expanding further. But that expansion also will be predominantly in these existing geographies. What we want to ensure is that we basically, get our presence mass in those markets within our geographies which are good enough for a scale-up, and then look for a newer geography. And newer geography, just to tell you, and I have also mentioned the previous calls also, UP excites us, Uttar Pradesh excites us. So as we scale up, let's say from 500 crores to 1,000 crores at that point of time, maybe, these northern geographies and also southern geographies of Andhra and Telangana, probably we might get into. But that's again, 4 quarters away. As of now, we will be expanding only these existing geographies. In fact, in Rajasthan, I have diversified. I was predominantly present in southern part of Rajasthan. Now I have opened up in Jaipur. So now areas of Jaipur will be covered. So on, we will be, using up the existing space and then move out to a newer geography.
Got it. So basically, you are strengthening your position in the current 5 states and then expanding within them before you move to a newer territory. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Yeah. Okay, that's all for me. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter *1 to ask a question at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kalpesh Dave for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. Thank you so much. Dear participants, thank you so much for taking out time of your schedule and attending to the earnings call of my company. We are a small but a growing company. We have registered 100% plus growth. Obviously, our base is small, hence you are looking at 100% growth. But, one thing I can tell you is that, our company is, doing sincere efforts to scale up. That scale-up is backed by quality, and our domain, local domain, the people who are there across our operational geographies are the ones who are basically spearheading the growth. And this growth is coming backed by policies, processes, and guidelines which has been set up at the head office. And obviously, we are mentored by a very, very strong board, so corporate governance framework is there in place. Only when all these bearings were there in place, then we decided that, now is the time to scale up. So we continue to scale up. But that too extremely responsibility, and we are continuously monitoring the health of our portfolio. So that's it from my side. I thank everybody for attending this earnings call. In case of any further queries that you may have, please do get in touch with the investor relations desk. Thank you and take care. Bye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, with that we conclude this conference call. On behalf of Star Housing Finance Limited, thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.